did before. First, it's going to be persisting it down over the next few weeks. How do I know? Well, there's a bit of old weather law which maintains...
The first Friday in July is always wet.
And since that first Friday this year is the first itself, and there's another old adage that...
If the 1st of July be rainy weather, it'll rain more or less for 4 weeks together.
I don't think it has to be in a Marmoset accent. Together that makes a prediction of a very wet month. Of course, our ability to forecast and model weather and climate these days is far more scientific. But now there's evidence it may not always be that much more reliable than such old sayings, with criticism that some of our most advanced climate models aren't telling it like it is. Or, as Paul Valdez, Professor of Physical Geography at Bristol University, puts it in the current Nature Geoscience Online, it is a huge leap of faith to assume that simulations of the coming century with these models will provide reliable warnings of sudden catastrophic events. Paul Valdez is in our Bristol studio. Paul, some of the best minds and the biggest computers have been working on climate models for decades now. Are you saying they've got it substantively wrong?
Well, I think the challenge is that these models are based on our understanding of the physics of climate. They're then tested against the sort of last 100 years. And then if they pass those tests, we start using them for predicting the future.
This is a standard way, not just in climatology, but of course across science. You come up with a model for something, and the way to know that it works is you try and see how successfully it maps onto known events from the past.
Exactly, but of course, 100 years of climate change is, you know, the climate change is quite modest so far. And you really have to go back into the geological period to actually really look at climate change of the magnitude that we're worrying about for the next century. And the challenge is to see whether those climate models can work in these more distant past climates.
So you took the best models we have now and you used them to look at 4 major events of sudden climate change from a long time ago.
Yes, that's right. And so sort of as an example, one of the time periods I was looking at was a very long time ago, 55 million years, when the climate was really very, very substantially different to today. We had no ice caps at either pole, the tropics were... the tropics were quite similar, so the gradient between equator and pole was very much reduced. And it's also a very interesting time period because... superimposed on this extreme warmth was a sudden and abrupt warming event. I say sun, it's sun geologically speaking, which means it's still probably you're measured in thousands of years. But
I was going to say, because when you talk about sudden climate change, I'm sure there are images conjured up of the day after tomorrow, but we're talking to geologists here. They're a slow-moving species, so we need to think in thousands and tens of thousands of years.
In this particular example, yes. And what we found was that one of the challenges with the climate models is that they don't even manage to simulate the background state, let alone are able to simulate the... abrupt change that we've seen in that sort of time period.
But wouldn't there be a counter-argument that this isn't absolutely necessary? If you've got climate models that map on well to what we're dealing with in the 19th, 20th, 21st centuries, how well they handle events from 55 million years ago, isn't that important?
Well, again, you know, first thing is that we can look at more recent time periods, and the same story applies, is that the climate models don't show enough of a change compared to what the geological record is telling us. And so if we just look in the last, say, 6,000 years, we've got some very abrupt events, which in this occasion do actually work on a decadal timescale, yet the models don't reproduce. But I think the other point that's really important to remember is that the predictions that we're talking about for the end of this century are completely outside the range that the models have been tested on just from the past 100 years. And so it is in that sense a leap of faith to believe that a model that can represent a sort of change of 3/4 degree is accurate when we're talking about changes at the end of the century, which might be 3 or 4 degrees.
Now, in all these cases, I imagine we've got pretty good data from the geological record. We're fairly certain as to what happened. So if there is a problem, it's either got to be what the inputs you're putting into the model, or it's got to be the model itself.
Yeah, exactly. And the 4 examples that I chose to discuss were all examples which are really very, very robust events, which we know what the geological record is telling us, and equally well, it's not just one climate model that fails, but it's many attempts at simulating it with the state-of-the-art models fail. So it's a very sort of robust thing. It's telling us that in some senses we're not understanding the climate system. But equally well, I think it's important to acknowledge the fact that there are uncertainties with the geological record, and so one of the challenges that I think we have in the next decade, really, is to try and focus in and make sure that we understand exactly what the geology is telling us. But equally well, I think we've got to really make sure that the models are not tuned to be too stable. And that's my big concern, is that these models are just too stable.
I said earlier that testing models is a fairly standard thing to do across science. You test them onto what you already know. I'm surprised that nobody's spotted these anomalies before.
Well, my paper is really, in some senses, a review, and so in practice, we've been aware of it, and we've been gathering evidence slowly over the past sort of few years that we've had some problems. And so I'm just really sort of summarising a huge body of evidence which suggests that this is the case. Mm. You know, the big challenge that we've got, in a way, is that I think, you know, I strongly believe in that we have a strong evidence to suggest that the models are failing in terms of past climate. Of course, what the big challenge now is to know how much you can use this evidence from the past to say that the models are unreliable for the future as well. And that's something which is much more debatable, if you like. So the fact that the models failed for the past, that's, I believe, is a very robust scientific result.
And finally, and just briefly, if the models aren't necessarily to be relied on for predicting sudden climate change, does it necessarily mean things are going to be even worse than we thought? Couldn't it go either way?
Well, in terms of the geological record, I would argue that it does point in the direction of it being, unfortunately, potentially worse. You know, what the geological record is telling us is that the climate is surprisingly sensitive to small changes. And so in that sense, the message from the past is that there is something to worry about.
OK, Professor Paul Valdez, thank you. Twinkle.